Radio, and here we go, another edition of WTC. Once again, it's me, the popular one, Mo, Keith, the respected one, and Brett, the one who's taken up air.
The quiet one. I'm the quiet one.
The quiet one, the one who's breathing. Hey, you guys, how you doing?
That's a good start for me.
Yeah, there you go. Brett, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. And breathing.
Keith?
I'm doing great.
Well, you're well respected. This week, you're not the voice of reason, though. You're the respected one. Brett, go earn the reason.
Go earn the reason?
What the hell? You know I won't. Anyway.
that's a good point.
This is it. This is we're wrapping up our coverage of the new 52. Boys, little dance? Little dance?
Oh, my God. I'm so happy.
So happy to be done with this shite.
I feel like I've been doing homework for 4 weeks.
Yeah, and homework, it feels like algebra because it sucks. So to the new 52. Brett, you're jumping off and kickstarting us this week. You got the lead horse. Go for it.
All right. Well, if this week was a horse, I would have to shoot it. But so I think we'll start off with the B-listers, We got a few books here, and these are, let's see, well, Firestorm, Fury of Firestorm. Wow. Well, you know, in all honesty, in this week, there's some books that I just don't actually have that much to say about. Fury of Firestorm is one of them. The first thing that really struck me about the book was actually that I thought the art was really poor. I wasn't very big on the writing, didn't really care for the story either, but the art really struck me as being, it actually looked way more like an independent book, like people's legs skewed out in directions that legs don't actually go, that kind of thing. But otherwise, really, I have nothing to say about this book. I think just because of the art, I'm going to burn it. Afterwards, if I look at the Savage Hawkman, you know, normally I love Hawkman as a character. I have collected the vast majority of Hawkman books. Sure, I might be crazy. Thank you.
Keith obviously thinks you are.
Didn't want to interrupt, but I made a little kind of crazy motion with my finger there.
Crazy with my finger. I've been making that motion towards, anyways.
Yeah. So yeah, I won't talk.
I'm trying to keep it at least PG-13.
But, you know, I think
that
with this one...
towards voodoo, anyways.
There's a lot of motions to be made towards voodoo, none of them good. But,
Brett, this week did not enjoy anything. Now that he's done from the reviews, Keith, why don't you and I talk this last week of 52? Oh, okay, all right, Savage Hawkman, go ahead.
Well, again, I'm not going to speak for very long. The story didn't really interest me. The concept of the nth metal bonding with him seemed a little lame, I guess. And really nothing too good to say. Although mostly it's not so much that I want to burn it. I'm certainly not going to buy it. I'm just primarily going to ignore it and pretend that it didn't exist. And then let's see now. Third one, I'm going to call the Flash a B-lister because that's the way he acts. You know, really, with all these books right here, that I have so little to say about them, I'm pretty much just going to say that I ignored the Flash too, and I don't care that Barry Allen is back. I really just don't ever want to read it again. Keith?
I'll do those in reverse order.
The reverse Flash.
I'll do the reverse Flash. Then reverse Hawkman and reverse Firestorm. I think Firestorm was reverse Firestorm that appeared this month. Flash, I didn't think it was anything special. I don't know where the giant demand was to bring back Barry Allen. He was dead for nearly 25 years. He was a much, much better character to me dead. I'll be totally honest. Barry Allen as an inspirational character to Wally, to a whole generation of heroes, was so important. So motivational in the 80s and 90s comics. I didn't care that he came back. They might as well have introduced a fourth Flash and made him a completely different character because I don't see a point to bringing Barry back. And now that they've rebooted him, they might as well have made it a new character. the only thing about this book that bugged me more than just the whole concept of having Barry Allen back was that I know that he's not married to Iris. You don't have to remind me every two pages that he's not married to Iris. Go on a date. Well, where's... And who's this Iris person? Well, I don't even like Iris. We went out once, but yeah. And where's Wally? I want Wally back. I miss Wally. Burn. Hawkman. I thought it was a really crappy introduction to who this character is. I was pretty lost on... Hawkman's had so many versions done over the years. I don't know if this is a new one. I don't know if this is the one that was published 2 months ago. I don't know if it's the same character that was appearing in Brightest Day. Don't particularly care. I really didn't like the art in this book. And I lost track of how many times he mentioned the Nth Metal in the book. I think by the end, it was like every second line mentioned the Nth Metal.
Nth amount?
He's the new Nth Man. Remember that comic?
Oh, I loved
it. I'd actually rather read the Nth Man.
Can we leave the rest of the 52 and just talk about how cool Nth Man was?
Nth Man was awesome. Yeah, he was a ninja. A ninja who had his abilities were human abilities to the nth degree. Yeah, let's talk about him.
16 issues, and then the Marvel Presents prelude. And if you read them as a whole, the last issue loops back into the Marvel Comics Presents. And, yeah, it's a great series. I really like that one. Can I stop talking about 52 and just talk about these for a while?
It was awesome. Awesome. All right, unfortunately.
Firestorm. No. Firestorm. This is a full reboot book. So I guess whatever Firestorm did in Brightest Day never happened. I thought the characters were terrible in this book. This book got a lot of positive attention. I disagree with all of it. I won't say what's on the last page because we've been trying not to spoil it, but the last page I think was the single stupidest final page of the entire 52.
Oh, come on.
And I'm totally serious. That's a competition for sure. But
that is a competition.
Single stupidest panel.
Actually, it was up there. I don't know. There was one other book this week that I think topped it.
we'll get to that one.
But that'll be in the last list, I think.
And Gail Simone gets... I was wrong last week, by the way, when I said that Gail Simone was only doing one book. She's doing two. The second one being Firestorm, the other one being Batgirl.
So when is Firestorm becoming a female character?
Well, I think there's about 16 Firestorms now that are based on this pipe bomb that he had in the school. That's a whole separate discussion.
I can hardly wait until he starts getting rings and then he starts becoming like the red Firestorm.
Yellow Firestorm that's powered by fear. So
we had a yellow Firestorm this one and we had a red Firestorm.
What was the line I heard the other day? So the yellow power is fear. So I just have to fear harder and I will have more power. That's how it works. I really just fear as hard as I can.
I'm afraid of month two of DC.
That's what I was going to say.
Does that give me more power?
I'm very afraid.
Mo asked me the other day what I wanted to do for the next couple of episodes, and I said, I will do absolutely anything, any topic you want to come up to, as long as it's not DC 52 number two.
Yeah.
Doing the whole month of number two.
As far as I'm sure, that number two from New 52, the number twos, is for the pile of shit that it's going to be. I believe, actually, Keith said, what are we doing for the next month? Anything but talking something along 52, but yeah, I mean, I believe there was an F-bomb in there. I'm pretty sure he's not going to say it on the podcast, but he threw an F-bomb in there to show his complete distaste.
He'll say fudge.
Fudge. Say fudge again. Say what the fudge.
I'll catch you unawares. I'll save that. There's got to be a book in there that I'm going to have that kind of review. I just
page?
Want to wrap up Firestorm.
Firestorm. That deserved a
wrap up. Firestorm has not only will I say the worst final page, the worst single line of dialogue in all 52 is in this book when he says, "You nerd creep, Jason." It's just awful, awful, just painfully bad, and geek loser. I've never heard that those two words.
Oh, come on. If anybody heard those words combined.
But you don't use them like that. It's one of those, like, Canadians always say A. You never know when we use it.
I like to use it at the beginning of... I mean, we live here in Canada, but I use it at the beginning of my sentences. That way people think I'm from Philadelphia. Hey! What'd you think of the 52?
They think you're the Fonz.
Yeah, thanks, Tony Danza. Yeah. Are you going back to school?
I will burn Firestorm with a nuclear flame. So all three of these are burns for me.
Right. Nice.
I'm going to get to, I'll say Firestorm, actually. I enjoyed Flash. As far as the art is concerned, I actually enjoyed the art of all of the books except for really one this week. I mean, I like the art as a general rule. The art in Flash was a very nice style. Here was a book that didn't it opened up with a little bit of him taking on some not superpowered people, but a bunch of high-tech individuals. Then it led to a lot of characterizations and flashbacks and a lot of establishing. And it set up a mystery, and I'm like, this is good. This is a jump-on point. This is what it needs to be. As far as Barry Allen being back or not being back, I think we covered this before. I agree with you. He doesn't need to be back, but who cares what we think? He's back, so live with it. And as far as if he's going to be back, at least it's a good place to start, a nice jump-on point, good, quick read. Not perfect, but the artist slash writer, as far as I know, is not I don't know if he's written before, but I get the feeling that he has potential as a writer, and he's, you know, we're seeing a lot of this from DC of writers also being artists and vice versa, you know, and not just a Dan Jurgens who we've known for a long time, but you've seen it with a Tony Daniel, and you've seen it here with Manipul, you saw it with Finch, you know, so we're seeing an awful lot of that, so that's a trend they're definitely trying to do, I suppose, is I'm not sure if it's to save money so we don't have to pay him twice. That could be, but more likely it's just that they're trying to empower the writers or the artists to write as well. So that's interesting, and I think he has potential.
Although I do think that Finch was just a co-plotter.
Well, I'd like to give him more blame than that, but we'll get there. as Hawkman, same thing. You know what? Okay, now you've taken a character I've known for a long, long time that's stale, that's had many incarnations, none of them have worked, and instead of him being this, a lot of the times he becomes very difficult to relate to. Now, success or failure, at least they're trying to give you a more relatable Hawkman. They're trying to give you, he's not the alien guy, he's not the guy who's 500 years old and keeps being reincarnated. It doesn't appear. I mean, it seems like he's not an archaeologist anymore. He's a cryptologist who has bonded to the nth metal and has now real superpowers all the time instead of just a costume that gives him superpowers. It's something kind of had before. I think it's an interesting take. Is it great? No, but it's there. And again, I'm going to appreciate the fact that it's a relaunch and a place I can jump on. So both of these books are a buy for me. Now, Fury of Firestorm left me furious. See what I did there? See that? Boom. See that?
That's clever.
That's clever.
I know. I wrote that. No, seriously, I came up with that right now. But I think this sucked. I can't even say that. I was like, the opening scenes, again, the level of violence. This young boy being tortured for a name with his family, his father's throat being slit. Again, all these books are rated teen, including Fury of Firestorm. Graphically, you see a level of torture that was almost equivalent to Suicide Squad. Throats being slit, kids being shot in the head. I was uncomfortable with it. And then I thought they started to develop some characterization. And I thought that then I'm getting to the buy point. And then, again, I would get to the burn, bag it, buy it. I mean, I was all over the place by this. By the end of this thing, I think there were some interesting concepts laid out between these two individuals, Jason Rush and Ronnie Raymond, as far as the fact they're the same age, they have different backgrounds, different races, it's something to explore. I just don't trust that the writing is going to be good enough to explore it properly because the writing, as a general rule, was crap. Again, good concepts, but we got into that with Birds of Prey where I said, I think it's not a very good book, but there's enough good concepts that I would buy it. Here, I think it's not a very good book, and there's enough concepts, but I don't have any trust that it'll be good enough to buy it. I like the Jason Rush character. I liked him before when they first introduced him. It was the same writer without Gail Simone, it was Vance Scriver. He did a good job. A lot of what made that character really tick, though, they took away. Like the fact that his father was quite abusive towards him. Here, his father's the wise gentleman who's lost his job and is struggling. But it's really a shame, because I think this book had great potential. But again, that final thing, as soon as I saw that, I was like, all right, that's it. Give up. Burn the digital copy, as Brett would say.
Now, Mo, before we move on, there's something you said in there about the ratings, and we've come to this before. The idea that, you know, there's teen plus. There doesn't seem to be a whole lot of consistency in what gets into one and what goes into the other. Like Red Hood and this book were both teen. A lot of violence in this book.
This book was more violent. I think this book was more violent than All-Star Western, which was a violent book. But I think this was more violent. And
I would say I would totally agree.
Yeah, and that was teen plus.
And I also think that it's not just it's the type of violence. I think that the type of violence that was shown in this in Firestorm versus the type of violence torture, that's shown in Western. Torture. Yeah.
Yeah, torture. Yeah,
like the Western one, you expect violence.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, there was all these issues came up last week. And then earlier this week, there was a story came out of a woman who wrote a really great blog post, if you haven't found it yet. And her explaining to her 7-year-old daughter who Starfire is in a comic book versus who Starfire is in a cartoon. And whether that parent should have given a teen book to her 7-year-old is a whole different issue. But DC, in a shockingly terrible move for public relations, their whole response to that and to everything else that had come up was, there are ratings on the book, please pay attention to the ratings.
Yeah, screw you, DC.
And that is my reaction. Screw you, because I did pay attention to the ratings. Firestorm's not a teen book. Firestorm's teen plus. So was Red Hood. So, I mean, don't tell me to pay attention to the ratings when you're not.
Yeah, exactly.
You're throwing them out randomly, so why should I pay attention to them?
Yeah, not only that, but...
And how you can even count some of the teen plus books. Like when you only officially have two ratings of teen and teen plus, it's not like you're giving anybody else an option even within those.
Yeah, I mean, is it morally irresponsible to take, here's a character whose most popular incarnation is a shiny, happy person in a great kids-oriented cartoon that is so terrific adults can enjoy it as well. So, I mean, if you're going to reboot the character, how about this? Instead of making her a slut, how about you make her that character? Because there was a Firestorm, for instance, in the Infinite Crisis and somewhere in that range, she had sex with Captain Comet. And afterwards, he asked what was going to come of this, and she said, I think the term is friends with benefits. So this was probably about 3-4 years ago. So this isn't wholly new from the character.
It'd be 52, yeah.
Yeah, 52, somewhere
those
in that range.
52, yeah.
But the point isn't that. The point is that here's a character whose most popular and well-known gimmick is the character from this cartoon. And if you're going to reboot it, why not reboot it into what people actually like instead of this character who I don't know anybody who likes?
Yeah, why was that? Why did that have to be Starfire?
Yeah.
I didn't, like, that was the part that was unclear, is there was no real reason that it was Starfire at all.
No.
Yeah, other than they didn't have any other place to put her.
There must be a Wildstorm character that would behave like that, and it wouldn't be out of character, so throw them in there.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Absolutely.
Voodoo is perfect in that book. You know, where was the voodoo in that book?
I think it's also absolutely crazy that they say, there's ratings on these books, pay attention to them. So in other words, what we're saying is we currently publish 52 books, and for a 7-year-old, not a single one is acceptable. Zero. So we're throwing away an entire generation. Once you're a teenager, we're interested in you. Hopefully by then you won't have given up on reading comic books. Because I don't know about you, but I didn't start reading them when I was a teenager. I was reading them when I was 7. And that's part of the reason why I'm still talking about them today.
I learned to read with comic books. I learned with, you know, I learned with Claremont Byrne X-Men. And don't tell me that those were teen plus books. They were accessible to all audiences without talking down to kids.
Yeah, I will defend people who don't talk about the literacy. I had a university level reading ability by the time I was in the 8th grade, and I read nothing but comic books. So
that's right, because we read Stan Lee, and Stan Lee had a gigantic vocabulary.
I grew up on Stan Lee, my erstwhile chums.
That's right. That's why I thought the word was hyperboil, because I'd only ever seen it written down, but I knew exactly what it meant.
I did. And Brett corrected me. I would say hyperboil. He'd go, hyperbole. I'd go, what? What the hell are you talking about? I still do that when I call it Captain Autumn.
Come to think of it, Brett corrected me, so maybe we were both right, and he's the one that's I recall him correcting me.
Well, you know what?
If we all went with the... with the, like, masses believing that everything is right, then I think that we have a lot to say about like some of the other books, such as Captain Atom.
You know what? It's
all right. Well, let's get back to some books.
Well, you know what? Honestly,
we got to get all this new so stuff out of the system.
Talking about this particular subject, I don't even want to get back to the books, but we will. But it really is. It's like I the level of arrogance and irresponsibility from this company. Support your independence, folks. That's all I'll say. And Marvel, what the hell? Make my anything but DC at this point. So, all right, let's get on, Brett. We're gonna throw out to you because I had, let's just say, a bye-bye, burn.
All right, well, let's move on to the darker books, which I do believe are not all teen plus for some reason, but maybe they are.
I think these are all teen plus.
No, they're not.
I hope so.
Is Justice League Dark the only teen?
Yeah, Justice League Dust is only teen. Actually, what are the three books? I, Vampire.
Looking Justice it up
right
League
now,
Dark,
I do believe that is teen plus. That is, yeah. And Justice League Dark, where I remember I said last week that we knew Batman would make an appearance.
I know, and as soon as I saw that, I'm like, oh goddamn, I can't believe Mo was right.
Cool. No, that's just rated teen.
Okay, that's my team. Oh, okay.
All right. Well, let's see now. I'll start.
It'd be morally irresponsible to make a Justice League book teen plus. Though
yeah,
it's
that's,
teen,
that's
and
right.
I wouldn't let your 7-year-old read it. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay. Well, again, as we did mention, another appearance of the Batman. Although I'm thinking of starting up an appearances of Dead Man. Section 2, because
yeah,
this guy's appearing in every book.
Oh yeah, he was in this book, but I had trouble with it because, like, I didn't know what was, like, I didn't understand his past. Maybe if I got an origin story in this issue.
I think that would have helped out.
You know, I'm gonna leap in with this one right before we finally get back to review spread. With this week's books, 12 Batman appearances, including single pages, 6 Superman appearances, including single pages, and 3 Dead Man, none of which are single pages.
Dead Man.
Who is this Dan Didio's favorite character ever? Like,
I think it must
three
be.
Books. I don't think he's had 3 books a year for most of the time I've been a collector.
Yeah.
He's not three this month.
Yeah, it did.
But you know what the issue
is
he doesn't seem to have, continuity-wise, the bigger issue is between the three books, I see no correlation again, you know?
No, it's a different Dead Man in every book.
Well, it's not even just a different Dead Man, he didn't really talk in this issue, so we don't know if it's a different Dead Man, but certainly the setting here, that he's in this and in the other two settings, doesn't seem to make much sense.
You know, given all of this, at the end of the book, I actually did like Justice League Dark. I thought that it was once I actually figure out who the hell is going to be part of the Justice League Dark team, because they did bring in a bunch of characters, but I have no real idea who's actually going to be part of the team. But I think that
but Constantine was in this, and that was a big surprise to me. I did not think he was going to be in this book. Did you guys know ahead of time he was going to be in there? I thought he was still in Vertigo or just...
I did. Constantine is the only character that will be doing both because Hellblazer continues to be one of the top Vertigo selling books.
And because they can
he'll also
make another movie with Keanu Reeves.
Yes. that's about the saddest thing anyone has said to me in a long time. That the ability still exists. The technology exists.
The technology exists.
A second Constantine movie.
This was the movie where Keanu Reeves didn't do much acting.
He didn't have to.
All right, Brett, go ahead.
All right, but well, you know, again with the dark, like, I mean, I thought it was a pretty well written book. I feel like it could be a really interesting storyline. I'm not going to go so far as to say bag it, but I would definitely buy it. You know, I want to see how the characters shake out before I truly commit long term funds to this story. Afterwards, okay, let's see now. Eye of Vampire. Now this book to me screamed of like DC's Twilight saga. Like we really want to jump onto this vampire shtick and really try to get that book in there. And then how they tied it into the DC universe by talking about, oh, the vampires are going to take over. And
Brett,
at the,
what's wrong with that?
Well, to me, nothing's wrong with it. For me, like, I thought that the art was, I liked the art, but at the same time, I had trouble following the storyline because of the art. And it just strikes me that when they're doing something like this, because we haven't seen anything like, we talked earlier in one of the earlier podcasts about how they aren't going to do crossovers. Well, if they're not going to do crossovers, then how in the hell are these vampires going to take over? They're going to take over in one book, which is never going to be mentioned in any of the others.
Nope.
Oh, wait, actually, that sounds pretty much like DC's plan right now anyways.
But when they say crossovers, I mean, obviously, we're seeing characters like Superman, Batman. Batman, I think, showed up in a book beside his own, if I remember correctly. So
he might have.
Yeah. So
one.
There are crossovers. It's just that they're not going to have a huge uniform universe-spanning crossover like 52 and Infinite Crisis, right?
But, yeah, I think it's the big events that they want to stay away from, because Marvel's in this quagmire of never-ending events right now. They've been doing Fear Itself for most of the year, and
which is kind of what has
leading into another one.
It's what's pushed me off Marvel.
Well, at any rate, this whole reboot is what's pushed me off of DC again. But at the same time, I felt like I Vampire. Like to me, this just strikes me as a total money grab of like, you know, oh, let's inject vampire stories despite the fact that...
What's wrong with that? I mean, seriously, if you have something that people are interested in right now, what's wrong with telling a story around it? What's wrong with...
I'll tell you what. I'll believe that people are interested in 6 months when this book is actually still being sold. Because I don't think it will be. For me, it's a total burn. I hated it. As far as voodoo goes, I read this book in like 20 seconds, I think it was.
Then you went back and read it again with one hand. You know,
that's right. iPads can be held with one hand. Voodoo's on sale now.
Yeah. Wow. Again, you know, this was just a book that where yes, I believe that the character is a pretty much complete reboot from the Wildstorm version.
I don't think so. I don't think
okay.
so.
Oh no, maybe not. I don't really care. It's just one of those cases where at the end of the book, I was left pretty empty in that I just didn't care about it. I didn't like the character, and I didn't really see any reason for me to want to carry on reading it. I mean, it was a lot of stripping. So if that works for you, and I know it does for you, Mo, then then you know you'll probably like it. But for me, I'm okay. I can find things like that otherwise. But
you have the internet, as it turns out.
Yeah, that's right.
Which turns out. Which I don't want to. Spoiler alert: there's porn on the internet.
Yeah. So in this case, I'm going to call voodoo a burn. All right, Keith, burn.
That was a rough pile for you.
It was. It was a bad pile. Yeah.
I'm going to start with I Vampire. I had the same problem that you did, Brett, of thousands dead in the streets. It's in the DCU because there's this one completely out of place line that says, what do you do when Superman turns up? Which is the only, and coincidentally, the frame that the Mystery Woman shows up, which makes me wonder if this issue was a Vertigo one that they changed one panel in.
Actually, DCU. Yes. I definitely noticed the Mystery Woman in this one.
You know, funnily, it was like a magic eye thing for me. I went through this thing five times. It was the only one I missed in the entire. It was like I missed two in 52 books, and this was one of them. But yeah, I had that issue of, you know, there's thousands dead in the street. Where are the heroes? And which wouldn't have been a problem if it was a self-contained, if it was a Vertigo book, if it was self-contained. I honestly don't know what happened in this book. I read it twice. I know there's a subtle change between what I think is a flashback. I don't know if I'm flashing back and then to the present day or if it's present day and some dream of the future. I just got lost.
That's really where I felt that the art failed.
Yeah, and it's not just the art style is good, but just the plain storytelling ability. I just kept getting lost in when a scene was taking place. And then it gets to the letter at the end, and I'm like, but is it all a dream then? Because he's just waking up now? I don't know. I've never used this this one out of our buy bag and burn pile. I'm calling this one a huh.
A what?
I don't know. I don't even know what happened in the book. So I guess I'll have to burn it or maybe wait for a trade paperback when
on
text will work.
Burn it.
I'll burn it. I'll just burn it. Voodoo. This is the quietest strip joint in the world. And I haven't been in a great number of strip joints, but it's not as quiet as
Please.
This one where you can carry on. You can carry on these long conversations across distance with, there must be no music in this place. It's the creepiest strip joint in the world where everything's perfectly silent and everyone can have these long, drawn-out conversations without leaning in or being near each other. And this one led to Mo and I had a discussion a day or two ago on Twitter that if DC says, Teen Plus, they're for adults, and only grown-ups should be reading these, and pay attention to the ratings. Why are there no nipples?
And what
Why
was
don't
my
you
response
just
to that?
Do it.
What was my response?
Mo's response was that there should just be more nipples, period, in the world.
More women showing nipples. I'm like, why the hell are we going to limit that to comics? If this is what Keith is advocating, I'm finally agreeing with Keith on something.
But this is my, if you're going to go that far, why don't you just go all the way? Vertigo has never had a problem showing nudity in the context of stories. You know, I'm just rereading Preacher right now. Garth Ennis books have it. Sandman has it. But I just read an entire comic that takes place in a strip joint and there's no nipples.
Can I just cut you off for 1 second? Seriously. Green Arrow had it when Mike Grell was doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you're making this Teen Plus and you're saying only adults should be reading this book, why have you drawn that line? I mean, clearly you're not worried about the way you're objectifying women. So, you know, why have you made this arbitrary decision that there won't be nudity, but you'll have these types of situations?
Well, okay, let's. What does Teen Plus mean? I mean, to me, when I see mature, I think 18. When I see Teen Plus, I think 16. When I see Teen, I think 13.
I don't know. They don't tell you. It's their own rating system. It's not based on anything.
Okay.
I would assume Teen Plus is like, I don't know. To me, those ratings mean people 13 to 19 read the teen ones, and people 13 to whatever read everything else. I have no idea.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm offended. I'm offended by the idea of a 19-year-old seeing nudity. I'm actually more offended that they don't have a single.
You weren't when you were 19, but
You said, Green Arrow, the Vertigo titles. Yep. There's like 25 years of DC being comfortable to show nudity in a way that Marvel never was. So if you're going right out and saying these are for grown-ups, these are for people over 18 or teen plus, whatever on earth that means, then why not just make the strip joint a strip joint?
Okay,
and it's not just nudity for the sake of nudity. I mean, in this case, it is in the story.
Can I ask you this?
Yeah.
Because this did everything but show the nipples, right?
Yeah.
Wonder Woman, on the other hand, is rated teen, and you knew for sure she was walking around naked, but didn't come close to showing everything but the nipples. So is that the difference? Like
I don't
just because it's teen plus, does it?
I don't know.
How about this? What we're seeing is
so they mean absolutely nothing.
But what we're seeing here is something else. and becomes a bigger issue here that we've seen historically, especially in America, where these books are printed and published, more so than any other country I think in the world. This issue, sex is dirty, violence, no problem.
Mm. Yeah, the decapitated horse that has a body pour out of it, that's teen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The girl whose nipples you don't see that dances around, that's teen plus.
It's true. It's true.
That's yeah,
silly
I mean,
as this is.
Yeah.
And it seems nothing silly else to happens. Almost every other country. And I think it seems silly. I think it seems silly to half of America. I'm sorry, I missed what you said, Brett.
I said nothing else happens in the book, so...
I'm going to still call Voodoo a bi. I did like the story, actually. I like the character. I never followed her before, but I kind of dug just the direction of it.
Did you see the look on Brett's face when you said that? He looked at you like you had just grown antler.
Justice League Dark.
Oh, what? Justice We're still League. Talking books?
Yes. Well, I'm going to keep
going. We're just talking. How about a show called We Talk Strip Joints? Because obviously Keith knows about them. And I'm telling you, that would be downloads.
we might actually see now I just want to talk about strip joints and comics. So Justice League Dark. Now I'm scared of the cartoony Constantine in a teen book. But Peter Milligan writing Shade again. I love that. I love how he dealt with Shade's past without throwing it all away. Madame Xanadu, I could so do without her. Madame Xanadu, here's my impression of Madame Xanadu in every comic I ever read. My cards tell me that I'll be no help to you, but you're in danger.
And I'm tortured because of it.
That's Madame Xanadu in every single comic. I think her entire job in Justice League Dark will be to turn up at the end and go, oh yeah, I called that. I knew this was going to happen. But even with the presence of Madame Xanadu, I'm going to call this a bag because I do love Peter Milligan. Shade is one of my all-time favorite comic runs. And I just like the way that he teased out the characters. So I'm going to keep getting this one. And that's the three for me. It's most charming.
All right. And well, it's finally.
My turn. Now, so when I go to a strip joint, definitely I know to bag it.
Yeah, whether you're doing anything or not, just bag it before
you go. Just in case. I double bag it, actually.
I would bring more than 52 singles, though.
crap. What three books are we talking about? Anyways.
My Vampire, Voodoo, and Justice League Dark.
Justice League Dark, just to get out of the way, because it's kind of quick for me. It wasn't bad, but... and it's one of those books that is, like, totally skippable. It's one of those books that I'm going to burn just because we don't have that by ? Technically. Not a bad thing. I mean, generally character driven, just not characters that really interest me. Now, what was the name of the series that they were doing with their kind of magic characters before? I can't recall who wrote it or anything like that. I'm really blanking. I'm sorry, but. I believe it had that Detective Chimp had Blue
Secret
Devil.
Six.
Pardon me?
Secret Six, is that the one here?
No, I don't believe so.
Gail Simone?
It might have actually been Secret Six, but they were trying to set up like this magic, this group that was an offshoot that was only watching over the magic universe portion of DC for evil. That was their job. They were the protectors of DC universe from magic. And now that's what this is. And thank you, Keith, for looking it up for me, because I'm sure you'll get to it in a hurry. So this is not a new concept. It's just new characters and characters from Vertigo doing the same thing. So unfortunately, it's just not, like I say, not interesting enough characters for me. So that's all I have to say about it. It's a burn, but it's not a terrible book. It's just a book not good enough to buy for me.
Shadow Pact is the book you're looking for.
Shadow Pact.
I didn't look up the writer, but Shadow Pact is the name.
Yeah, it is the book I'm looking for.
All you need to do is look up Detective Chimp, because I'm sure he appears in a ton of books, right?
He's got a Wikipedia entry, as it turns out, yeah.
Oh. Jeez, I think I have a Wikipedia entry, Keith.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, Mo is fat. That's what it says.
Well, that was my description on We Talk Wrestling.
Oh, that's right.
And this after I've lost almost 100 pounds. Jesus Christ, what do I have to do? So,
cut out the wheat.
Not happening.
Dairy. It's all dairy.
It's not happening. Neither one's happening. I love cheese. Anyways, speaking of I love cheese, where is Captain Marvel? Anyways, iVampire, I'm the guy who's going to give this a buy. And it's a weak buy. But I will give it a buy. Now, I also was confused with the art. It took me about 3 or 4 pages to understand this book, admittedly. But once I started to understand it and kind of understood both the art style and the characters and their history, it helped for me. I think the art is actually really – it's not that it's I like the art. It's that I think the art is really well suited to the book. I think that the concept – now, I haven't read a lot of vampire stuff. I've never watched True Blood. I've never seen Twilight or read that. I'm not really so much into this. So for me, this is fresh, maybe fresher than it is for somebody who hasn't been watching this. But just the idea of somebody who's a vampire who doesn't like the fact that other vampires are hunting humans because he believes that he shouldn't have to kill. So he's killing them to prevent them from killing humans. That is a little bit stupid. So there's a weakness there. And then there's the idea of, like you said, this is the thing that bothered me. All these dead people in the streets. And it's like, well, you just mentioned the Green Arrow and or Green Lantern and Superman are there. They're not going to show up now. Like there's hundreds of dead people apparently on the street. Like, wouldn't somebody show up? So that did bother me. But like I say, I like the idea of a vampire who is, and this is the hook that I liked, a vampire who is protecting humanity from other vampires, and the queen of that other vampires is the one who's sending, who is attacking humans, is his 400, a vampire he created that has been his lover for 400 years. So I think that dynamic and that storyline, that hook got me. Once I got that, I'm like, that's an interesting concept. I can stay with this. Now, it's not probably because it's not my style. It's not something I will buy. But it's something I will list as a buy within our reviews. Voodoo, of all the art, I think this is the one I enjoyed the most. The artist in this book was, I'm going to have to look that up super fast unless one of you recalls. Either? Anyone?
Yeah. Anyone? I recall anything about that.
Sam Basri. I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly. It reminded me of John Cassaday. Who I've been a big fan of since he did Desperados with Jeff Marriott many years ago. Of course, he's probably best known for his work in Astonishing X-Men. Really, really loved this art. Reminded me, like I say, heavily of that. This character was a stripper before. She was a stripper in Wildstorm. So the fact that she was a stripper here didn't bother me. This was a character-driven book. I didn't like all the characters. In fact, the only character I liked, I suspect, won't show up in the next issue. it was a series of unlikable characters. But it was a character-driven story with really good art that is well-paced and set up an intriguing mystery. And not a great book, but definitely something I will continue to see if it finds its legs and give it a buy. The fact that she was in a strip joint without tits, I mean, like I say, I think Vertigo is going to have tits. I think Team Plus is still not going to go there. So I didn't expect it. They pushed the boundaries. It was more than they wanted to show in a team book. I get that. And like I say, that's what the character was. The only problem I have is we're seeing this also from DC a lot. And that is characters are being given books who are not anti-heroes even. They appear to be full-out villains. Like she commits a heinous act in this storyline that you can't really defend her for or cheer for her, so why am I going to keep on following her? And you get this with Deathstroke. You get this with Red Lanterns. This seems to be something that it's a common theme, or even a character like Superman who they've quite obviously tried to make no longer take away that Boy Scout image. What do you guys think about the fact that we're seeing characters like this who... they're not, like I say, they're not even anti-heroes like a Punisher. They seem to be straight out villains.
Well, I think that to a certain degree, and admittedly, I don't know very much about DC and what's going on, but I think that they've kind of tried to do stuff like that before by putting in Suicide Squad for a while. They've also, I thought that they did another team of villains during the big crossover section. I could be wrong.
They've done a bunch of stuff with the Flash Rogues Gallery.
Right.
That may be
right. And,
but those guys, yeah, those guys were portrayed as guys who would rob but never kill. You know what I mean? Like their level of, they did get a mini series, but not an ongoing series.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just, it strikes me that now that because they're pulling away books from Vertigo, that they're almost trying to, you know, maybe fill out the universe by making more books that seem like they should belong as Vertigo, but they have that greater tie into the full universe. You know, and maybe it's just that an attempt to get more fans just from a different means.
I've always found that having a villain as your main character just isn't sustainable very long.
That's my opinion.
Ultimately, you know, Superman shows up, I guess you don't beat him, so you escape from him, and then next issue, Batman shows up, and you escape from him, and then, you know, Hawkman shows up, and you beat the crap out of him, and then, you know, next issue, you know, I don't know how you continue with a character that's just the bad character in the book, because ultimately they either get caught or they don't get caught. Suicide Squad's angle was that there were good people around them, like Amanda Waller and like Flag.
Amanda Waller was a good person.
Well, she wanted good things.
Yeah.
I mean,
she had at least
she worked on the side of right.
I mean, I would call her an anti-hero, the same as Colonel, as, you know, was it Colonel Flag? Rick Flag.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I would call them anti-heroes. They certainly wanted the best for their country. Their long game was positive, but yeah, I mean, I don't know how you sustain a character like the character that we've been introduced to in Voodoo.
Well,
over a long period.
Exactly. It's like, I remember I said Red Lantern seemed to me like it's a miniseries for that.
Yeah.
And I think that's the reason why. That's also how I viewed Voodoo. That's kind of my point on that. Okay, Brett, why don't you throw us to the next grouping here.
All right. Well, let's go into the team books. And I'll admit, flat out, it's a bit of a holocaust for me. But
What would you call that last one then? That last grouping? Burn. You know what?
No.
Let's not actually use the term burn and holocaust together.
Oh, okay. Hey, fair enough.
I like J.L. Dark, okay? I like that one.
Oh, I forgot. Okay.
I like Milligan too. Yeah.
We're going to get letters.
Okay. Well, that's good.
If you two agree, I disagree with you. That's the concept the last couple of weeks.
Yeah,
well, Dark, burn. The other two, I'll buy. You guys, oh Jesus!
You saw the look that he gave me when I wanted to buy a Voodoo. So.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Brett.
Yeah.
All okay. Right. What's our team book here, Brett?
Well, I'm going to start off with Green Lantern, New Guardians. It's sort of a team book,
is it?
I guess. Regards.
I think it will be.
I don't know
well,
at all.
It is called
on the cover. It is.
No, it's not.
I think eventually it's New Guardians plural, so.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, I guess it is. I guess it is New Guardians plural. But when I looked at the cover, I thought it was a team book as well. But now that I've read it, I'm going, oh, no, that cover is not a team book, and that cover makes sense. Now.
Okay, well, whether it's a team book or not a team book, it's in this team category that we've created. But at any rate, you know, it's the introduction of Kyle Rayner. It's a slightly different introduction for Kyle Rayner.
Oh, yes, it is.
I will admit that at the end of the book, I did have some interest in the fact in like what was happening to him, but again, I was just so bleeding confused because of all the other lanterns that are zipping in and around that I just really struggled to catch on, really. So, I'm going to give this book a burn simply because I struggled to catch on, and it seems to me that, again, I'm not willing to put the 1.5, 7.5, 16.5 years of continuity in to catch up, so I'm going to burn it. Afterwards, I'm going to look at Teen Titans. Geez, I've almost forgotten what it's about right now. I'm actually shocked that Batman didn't appear, because, you know, Red Robin's in it, so, I mean, it's a nice
guys,
setup.
The Red Robin in that, was he 16? Seriously.
Wow, he's an old 16 if he is.
He's like 25.
Yeah. Last week, well, clearly there's some problems with the time, with the Flashpoint break wall and its effects on time, because Tim Drake has gone from 16 last week in Batman to 24.
I'm thinking early 30s, dude. Titans. He looked older than Batman. Seriously. Yeah. Wow. Okay, go ahead, Brett.
Well, I mean, Teen Titans, I think it's a fine place to start on. I mean, it really only introduced, like, two characters. So, again, I'm not 100% sure who's three. Who was the third?
Flash. Kid Flash.
Oh, Kid Flash, right. Sorry, I forgot about him.
Yeah. Technically, it introduced four, which ups Justice League by one.
But I mean, for me, it was just a really a throwaway book that at the end I just found that I didn't really care about it again. It was just, I can lump it in with Firestorm, Hawkman, Flash, and any number of the superhero books here, and just go with a flat out ignore or burn. Doesn't matter. and then I'm going to
commit. Wait, yeah. Just dive in there. He gave it three different rankings.
I'm
listening. I'm keeping it on burn, if to give you a hint of what I'm going to do to it. I like your burn idea, right. Brett.
I'll stick flat out with burn then. Good. And then now on Blackhawks, I'm going to jump right out and say that pour more and more and more gasoline on it, because this one truly needs to be torched.
Yeah, Brett, I just want to remind you before we go on here and you're burning it, that we live in Calgary, and a character got his name from something that happened in Calgary. It mentioned our city.
I know. And you know what? That was the one point in the book that I appreciated. That was it. That was literally it. I didn't like the characters. I didn't like the art. I thought that the team and the concept was just really, really stupid. And there's just so little for me to say about this book, because I read it and I just wanted to be done every page. I don't even know why I read the last half of it. I got to about a quarter of the way through, and I was just like, oh, man, this book is stupid. But they mentioned Calgary, so maybe I'll keep going. And that was really about it for me.
Well, I liked it.
Well, I'm not surprised.
Well, Mo has just explained why many Canadians still buy Alpha Flight, no matter how terrible it is. But they mentioned Canada.
You know what
right
would be
here.
Awesome would be... If there was some way I could win Alpha Flight 1 and 2 and 4 to 12 in a contest, I'd be so excited. That's a joke just for me and Keith.
Is it my turn to talk now?
Oh, please, just...
Didn't you have one more team? No, you didn't.
Was
don't
that a burn?
Disappoint me.
Was that a burn?
So, I'm sorry, yeah.
I'm going to stick with burn on that one.
Brett, did you want to burn Blackhawks? Or no, buy it, right? That was a buy it. Brett, you give it a buy it. Keith, move on.
Oh no, that was a bag it. Come on,
let's not be ridiculous. What
bag it? Fill it with gas. I'm bagging it, filling it with gasoline, and burning it in the bag.
My opinions are a little different than Brett's on these.
Brett, that sounds dangerous, environmentally irresponsible. Just so you know,
it's irresponsible. Almost as irresponsible as buying a teen book for your 7-year-old.
Yeah, well, you know what? You see a character she loves from a TV show on the cover. You're not gonna think. Basically, didn't DC just say we don't want anyone under 15 to buy our books? Like, Anyways, go on.
For God's sakes, don't introduce children to these books.
What the? Why would you? We don't have a single book for you. What, you wanted to buy your kid out of our books? You wanted to spend money on us? You stupid bastards. We don't want that.
We've given you four titles to spend money on, such as Brave and the Bold.
Idiots. All right, Keith, go on.
All right. Well, I'll start with Titans. I just enjoyed the book.
I knew you would.
I liked how it, mostly because I really like Superboy and I'm curious how these two books are going to fit together. I did like, is it Red Robin? Is someone's going to have to help me with what Tim Drake calls himself.
It's Red Robin.
I don't know why he can fly, but I guess I'll just live with that. I did have a couple of issues with the book. One of them was, and a lot of people have mentioned this, but I will be another Kid Flash. Turns up, he has a little adventure that is disconnected from the entire rest of the book, and at no point did they tell you if that's Bart Allen or someone else, or if Wally has been de-aged by 20 years. Everyone wants to know where Wally went. He seems to be just retconned completely out of this.
He went west.
Wally West.
Yeah, no, he went west.
He went west.
But, you're welcome.
Hey-o.
Go on.
I assume it's Bart from his behavior and, you know, the offhand comment of I was born for this, but it doesn't tell you. And I'm really, really getting tired of characters who complain about their own names and their costumes. This has come up in a few books, and I'm not going to remember exactly which ones, but because all of the designs were done by Jim Lee, and then other people were given them, people have complained about their own costumes. It's
Robin
your costume.
Red Robin complained about being called Robin, and Wonder Girl complained numerous times
about being called Wonder Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have to be called that. You have a secret identity. No one's going to go, hey, wait, didn't you used to be Wonder Girl? No, I wear a costume. What? Just change your name then. Stop complaining about it. It just bugged me that these characters were total control over
the house. I'm just wondering, what's her secret identity name again? Cassie. I can't remember. What is it?
Cassie something. Okay. I don't
you
really
know what her superhero name should be? This is a great idea. Try this out. Donna Troy.
That's a good one. I think that's awesome. A keeper.
Where is Donna Troy? Anybody? Anybody?
I think she's missing still. I think she's
no. She came back in that 52 or something like that.
Well, yeah, but
she's been missing
four weeks in a book into the new universe. I don't think we've seen her. If we have, I do not remember it. Someone may correct me and tell me she was right there. I do not remember it.
She's the mystery girl.
She's the girl in the purple hood. Yep.
She's the girl in it. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Time Trapper, by the way. That's my guess, the new Time Trapper. That's my guess for the mystery woman. I'm going to give Titans a bye.
My guess is I don't care.
That's my favorite guess of all.
Thinks it's Apocalypse. I'm going to give Titans a bye just to see how they fit in with Superboy. If the two books diverge, then I wouldn't continue, though. New Guardians. The origins told really quickly. Emerald Twilight seems to be more or less intact as far as what this book shows us. The art, I think it breaks down into kind of cartoony about halfway through the book. There seemed to be fairly inconsistent art in the book, to the point where I went back to the credits to see if there was a pages 1 to 12, this person, pages 13 on this other person, but there was no credit like that. But yeah, something in the art style just changed dramatically. And I've noticed this on one or two books of artists who have good, they have good overall art, but when they get into an action scene, it starts to break down, and that's what this one does. It's Kyle Rayner, though. I just dig it that it's Kyle has his own book right now. And this did have one of those annoying, where is the 4 years ago, 3 years ago tag, because the book starts into Kyle's origin, and then halfway through has a tag that says, such and such a place, present day.
Yeah.
Like, well, it says present day. Well, what have I been reading? And you know, so I saw people on
About 2 weeks ago, apparently, just read it. Universe is only 5 weeks old.
Yeah, like,
Well, people on, and there were people on Twitter that when I mentioned this said, so Kyle didn't just get his ring? Is this, how does this, like, so is, this isn't Emerald Twilight, or it is? He's had the ring since earlier this morning, or is this 2 years ago? I don't know, because halfway through the book it says it starts to be in the present day. I don't know when this other section took place now.
And this is why I burned it.
Given that Green Lantern seems to have completely come through this relaunch with no changes at all, I'm just going to assume that everything still happened the way it did with Parallax, etc.
Yeah, but just one question. From this new take on Green Lantern, Kyle Rayner, aren't you both disappointed that his girlfriend doesn't end up in a refrigerator?
Yeah, actually.
He was single in this one. He didn't have a girlfriend, folks.
That's right. Or a refrigerator, I'm guessing.
He couldn't afford one, it looked like. Remember, he left the waitress a drawing as a tip because he couldn't afford the beer.
Captain Atom has been completely rebooted. I'm assuming there's no major force anymore, so Kyle's girlfriend never ended up in the fridge. Ron Mars finally gets off the hook because...
Isn't it interesting Ron Mars did not...
Every other character.
Ron Mars didn't write this. He wrote Voodoo. So that's an improvement. They didn't give back to the same character again.
It is still Kyle. I like Kyle. I'm going to make this a buy. I don't know how long it's going to stay on the buy, though, depending on where they go with New Guardians Plural, which I'm assuming is a team book, but we will see. Is there still another one? Yes, Blackhawks. Okay, Brett, you may have to end right now.
I may
need to throw in a bleep or something. My note says fucking stupid.
I am so proud of you.
This has got to hit the bottom chunk of the whole thing for me. I don't know who any of these characters are. None of them have been introduced in any useful way. The only character I felt like I got introduced at all, I'm pretty sure it's going to be dead two or three issues in. So I'm assuming they're the sacrifice character to raise the stakes of this book. And there's a plot point in it that just made me stop the book and then yell at the book for being so stupid.
Okay, you know what? I think we have to say spoiler alert because I think we need to say it in case somebody hasn't read it. But I need to know what that is because...
You know, Brett once did this for me for a movie that was so terrible. I'm going to spoiler this because I might prevent you from picking it up and reading it if I tell you how this
goes. And that is only a good thing. Only a good thing.
I got it. As a
so there's a point where the Blackhawks helicopter has come in to do whatever stupid thing it is they're doing. And someone has taken a cell phone photo of the Blackhawks helicopter. And then later... And this photo goes online. And then one of the guys says, hey, you guys got your helicopter getting a picture taken of. That was the wrong move. Why is the symbol on the side of your super secret helicopter? I mean, even without a photo, hundreds of people saw that. It's some kind of bird thing. It wouldn't have taken a long time for them to come up with what that looked like.
I don't know why anybody would have bothered taking that damn picture of it. It's a freaking...
I forgot.
Look, it's a super secret helicopter that they were stupid enough to put their own symbol on the side of.
It's like a two-panel thing, so I completely forgot it, but you're right. That was one I kept on going. I flipped back to that like three times going, does it make sense now that I've read more? Does it make sense now? What's that?
Are they not able to tell their own helicopters apart from in their giant bits? Why do they have to fly the one that
they didn't want to accidentally get into the SHIELD helicopter.
Please don't show the super secret symbol. Well, why is it there again? I mean, we have a super secret helicopter. Perhaps someone else's symbol would have been good.
Yeah, no symbol.
So I'm going to say it's a burn. Was that all three? Yeah, I think I found
that. That is all three. All right, Mo.
God, I'm so opposite of you guys on everything. It's crazy. I give Blackhawk a buy.
I can't believe anybody would buy that piece of shit.
The artist's mom was like, how about you give me one?
Is it just because they mentioned Calgary? Is that it?
It didn't hurt. It didn't hurt. I hope everybody else is having as good time listening to this as we are recording it. But no,
convince
seriously.
Me that this wasn't the stupidest thing ever written.
No! Christ, no! No! That will be coming.
Sell me on
that. That's coming in the next tier.
To me,
I totally got the characters, and I'm not familiar with any of these guys. I don't know how you didn't get the characters. I got the characters, and I got the different personalities. I got everything that was going on, and they left me again with a cliffhanger that's intriguing that I want to see where it goes. It's that simple. Didn't think the art was bad. I was introduced to the characters, the setting, the style of the story. Everything I needed.
Okay.
I don't understand. We were told who the guy on top is. As he makes a lighter symbol. We're told who the guy on top is. We're told that there's the style of fighting tactics they use. We're told the stakes and the acceptable practices of the team. We're told and like I say, there's a plot point put on, not including the one you mentioned, which was shite, but there was a plot point put on, like I say, that it's going, okay, this doesn't seem to be part of this book, which is actually a good thing because now they have to deal with something that doesn't seem like it should fit into their universe. Are they going to integrate it? I think it was a buy. It's not a strong book, but I'd give it another issue.
I actually thought that plot point that you brought up, Mo, was total shite. That was actually
basically
my biggest
one of the characters
the
appears to be getting one of the characters appears to be getting superpowers. Who's a member of the group, and how does this fit into the how does this fit into her with the rest of the group, and whether or not she becomes a nemesis?
And, well, but there. It's also how she gets the superpowers.
That was stupid. You know, that was stupid. I can't disagree with that. On the other hand, Wally West had a bolt of a lightning hit a bunch of chemicals, and Spider-Man had a radioactive spider bite him. So shut up, Brett.
Well,
I
will crib from Mo's usual reviews, and I'll say that I'm thrilled that S.H.I.E.L.D. has finally gotten their own book.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. It very much is their version of S.H.I.E.L.D. now they're doing. But, you know, passable, I give it a buy. Not great, but I'll pick up another issue. New Guardians. I assume this is a Kyle Rayner only book. When they're talking about New Guardians, what I assume that they're talking about is all the Guardians of the universe have been killed. And we've seen now that we've seen in Green Lantern Corps that they've been brought back. I imagine this is... I see this as a book that Kyle Rayner's interaction with the New Guardians is kind of my assumption of where it's going, not a team book. And that's from reading it. I could be wrong, which means that this should be a burn. But as a general rule, I wasn't liking this very much. I think they weakened the character of Kyle Rayner by the fact he didn't have a girlfriend who died. Okay, it was good that they didn't have his girlfriend end up in a fridge. But the fact that his girlfriend died immediately as soon as he got the ring, immediately, like right away, he didn't even do anything, and he did, gave the character some depth of the level of sacrifice he needs to make if he wants to continue to be Green Lantern. And they've taken that away. A lot of little things like that, I think they weakened the Kyle Rayner character. I, of course, was not confused by all the different characters, the different lanterns and the blue lanterns and yellow, because I've read that. So for me, I'm basically going, this isn't that good, this isn't that good, this isn't that good. Great, it's all right, it's not that good. Great final page where I'm going, I got to find out what happens next. I'm so intrigued to find out. That last panel has me so intrigued to read the next issue. And so in this way, it's the opposite of a Firestorm where I'm going, there's enough set forward. Like I said, Firestorm, there's enough set forward, but I don't trust they can pull it off. Here, I think there's enough set forward, and I have a sense they might pull it off. So buy, again. It's in the weaker end of buys. Most of my reviews here are weaker end of buys. What was a Blackhawk weaker end of buy? Burn the shite out of this next one, because I think that this was crap on a stick. I did not like Teen Titans. This is three books written by Lovedale in this reboot, and I've really enjoyed his work in the past. And this is three books I do not like. I think the fact is, number one, Flash is, you took Kid Flash, a character with probably the two greatest costumes, I think, in comic book history are like Spider-Man and Kid Flash. And you changed his costume. And that pissed me off. But the other thing that pissed me off is the costume that he has on the inside isn't even the same as the costume on the cover, which is even more horrific than the one on the inside. And the one on the inside is horrible. But it's not nearly as bad as that brutal. What the hell did they do with his head? This little mohawk-shaped mask thing that I don't know what, but his hair's sticking out, and the cover, brutal. As a general rule, I just think these kids aren't likable. And maybe that's trying to make them realistic. But are you going to tell me Cassidy, she's not likable. She's a bitch. She's not a likable person. Kid Flash was annoying and stupid. And you want to punch him for being an idiot.
Yeah.
You don't like him. He's not a likable person. You're so stupid. You want to hit him for his stupidity. I do not like this book. And the idea of Superboy at the end, it's obviously tying, it almost feels like you can't read Superboy or Teen Titans if you're not reading the other one. It almost feels like they're tied in story arc to story arc already. But what gets me is at the end, they have all these characters going, he's not ready. He's not ready. No, we got to launch Superboy. And then I'm going, if I hadn't read Superboy, shouldn't you tell me who the freak these characters are? Like, this is just weak storytelling, and I don't know what happened to Lovedale. I think this is horrible. You have to have a character I like, and even Tim Drake, who has been a likable character in the past, the fact that he's consulting the name Robin, and he can fly, and they've done all this shit, he's not even likable as he's been in the past. So, burn this thing.
Now, before we move on, Mo, I just want to read you a quick line. This is the original pitch when they announced Green Lantern New Guardians.
Okay.
Who are the new guardians? The power of rage, avarice, fear, will, hope, compassion, and love combined to be the most powerful and colorful team in the Corps under the leadership of Kyle Rayner.
Okay. Well, that's not the way. Then it almost should get a burn, but I'm still intrigued enough by that.
I wanted to see if I could get you to burn it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that almost does, because to me then what I thought I'm getting from the storyline, you failed to convey it to me. But,
okay. I mean, I'll admit, I like the last page of the New Guardians, but you know, I just couldn't get over the rest of it for me.
Yeah, and it's a weak, it's a buy question mark.
I totally agree with Teen Titans, though. Like, you know, if you don't like those characters, and there's no reason that you should to me in that book, so yeah, it's just,
yeah, one's a self-centered bitch, you know, one's a stupid moron. One's a holier-than-thou asshole. Like, why am I buying this? All right. Brett.
Shall we move on?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Betcha.
Okay, so there's four books left.
I may not talk smartly about things, folks, but I talk passionately.
All right. I'm going to start off with...
The quiet one.
I'm going to start off with Superman. You know, I really like.
I love when your reviews start with a sigh. That's my favorite reviews coming from Brian, when it starts with a sigh.
This one deserves a sigh at the beginning, though.
It really does.
Because I think he's sighing not because of the book, but because he knows in order to really talk about how he feels about it, it's going to take a while because the book was so long, and he wants to go to bed.
Yeah. There's no question about that. But I guess my. My thing is that, you know, I like George Perez. You know, I think he is really great. I'm not a huge fan of him as a writer, but I think with Superman, I wanted more. I wanted to come out of this book saying, oh, no, that was a good Superman book.
Well, it was compared to really first, compared to Action Comics, it was.
yeah, there's no question about that, but I guess...
It was old times compared to Action.
You know, 6 hours later when I'd finished reading it, I came out of it and I said, wow, you haven't really done anything other than tell me any old Superman story. And so I really just didn't have any interest. And I think the same thing is going to happen in the next book that I'll mention, where I just didn't, it just didn't connect with me. You know, I wanted to like it, but I just didn't find anything there that said, oh no, this is a good Superman story that you're going to be interested in. So, I mean, ultimately, I don't really care about buying it. I'm not really interested in burning it because I think maybe it could be good down the road, but it just wasn't good enough for me right now. So, you know, I'm just going to say it as an ignore.
This was a really dense book, and it's no surprise to see the layouts by George Perez credit in there. He's the master of the 157 panels per page book. It's an incredibly dense read. I made sure to
get
a drink. It's a longer one. I think it's 28.
I thought it was like 32.
It's one of the 399. It's one of the 39.
It's
one of the 399 books. Yeah, it's one of the 399 books. So yeah, it's more page count. I don't know what it actually is, but maybe 31 or something like that. There's a lot you should have been doing with Superman, with him only having one of his own books. Really, Action's prequels for who knows how long, maybe for good. We don't know. He's only got two books total. I don't think I got as much out of this book as I got from his three or four page appearance in Swamp Thing for who this character is now. I just don't have a feel yet for who Superman is in this world. And I love Superman. I've always loved Superman, and it comes and goes depending on who's writing it. I try not to get wrapped up in, you know, my favorite era of Superman is the be all and end all. Which is Byrne, Ordway, and then Dan Jurgens. I'm going to put it by for now, but I just want it to be better. I just want it to tell me more about who this person is, and I just got nothing of that in this book. So maybe after a couple issues, it'll feel like I've really gotten a center on this character. A disappointing buy, I'll call it.
I think we talk about you wanted to know who this character is. I think one of the advantages about Superman is we all know who he is, but you're right that there's apparently a new Superman, but this isn't the same Superman as 5 years ago. This is a more mature Superman. This Superman, to me, there was subtle little things in his character. They're slightly different, but still familiar to me. Not very different than the characterization of a Superman in, say, a Swamp Thing. I didn't like this book as a start, and I'm giving this book a Bagot. I didn't like it at the start, and as it kept going, I enjoyed it more and more, and it kept going and going and going. But as it did, I really enjoyed it more and more. It felt like the stakes were being raised constantly by the situation and the characters around it, and it built to a climax. Climax happened, third act happened, came away very satisfied. When it was done, I was going, is it bag or buy? It was right in between. I'm going to go with bag. One of the things I want to ask you guys about in this, because one of the things I thought was tremendous, the characterization of Lois Lane.
I'm okay with the change to Lois. I mean, I know a lot of the long-term fans who were more invested in the marriage have had problems with the retcon that they're no longer married and have never been involved in the new universe and the new version. Let's call it the new universe. That'll make everyone feel better.
Talk about Ant-Man again.
No, Ant-Man wasn't part of the new universe.
Episode on Ant-Man.
Where was it then?
He's not in the new universe, but let's do that anyway. No, he wasn't in the new universe.
No, he wasn't part of the Marvel universe. What was he then?
No, he was a completely self-contained series.
Oh, was
he?
Yeah, okay.
I was spending so much time on Ant-Man. I wonder if Larry Hama gets residuals when we talk about it. Now, I don't even remember what you asked me.
Lois Lane.
Lois Lane.
Lois Lane. Yeah, I liked it actually. I like that they're developing their relationship a different way. In some ways, this is much tidier than what they had to do with Spider-Man to get him unmarried, which, you know, continues to be one of those. You open the book, oh yeah, they had to do that stupid thing. That's why they're not married. I started into Spider Island and I'm like, oh yeah, they're not married because of the stupid thing they did. This just they're rid of it and they don't have we
you
don't
know
have
if Jason
to have
Todd is still dead to you. They're still married to me. Peter, I don't
Lois
care if Lois
and Clark are MJ and Peter.
Lois and Clark don't have to be married, but Peter and Mary Jane to me, too. I mean, seriously.
You know, I like the Lois Lane character. I mean, I really didn't mind most of the characters. I thought that it was fairly good to a certain degree. It just didn't connect with me. Like where you were really getting into it as the book went on. For me, it was just more of I just really want to finish reading this thing. But, you know, cause it just wasn't there for me.
Well, when I realized how many pages were left, I kind of just went, okay, let's just go with it. Seriously, like I was reading it and going, this is a big book. And then eventually I kind of went, you know what? It's a big book. So just go with it. I really like the characterization too. When you talk about you didn't know where Superman was, this is a book that felt to me like less about Superman and more about Clark Kent, which is something I was worried I would lose. And that's another reason I have it in the bag. The very last scene kind of really hammers home the current relationship between Lois and Clark, and Clark's his struggles he's going to get being this guy who obviously loves this woman who has no interest in him at all. And it was a very emotionally touching scene, I thought. So, I mean, I really think that provides the characterization that you're looking for. And like I say, in the characterization of Clark, not as Superman. So I absolutely really enjoyed this book. I give absolute bag, sorry.
All right. Let's move on to another book.
Okay.
Let's talk about The Dark Knight.
Can I?
Yeah. You guys remember
In Living? You guys remember In Living Color? Remember Men on Film?
Yeah, we're old. Yeah.
Remember Men on Film? Remember that one? Hated yep. it.
Yeah, I knew that you did. I got that feeling from earlier in the podcast that you hated this book. But now again, I mean, for me, you know, as I go through, like I'm a fairly big fan of Finch's art. Like I think that it works for a book like Batman. This one kind of did the same thing for me as Superman did, in that it was a story that I feel has been told a gazillion times before.
It was told last week.
Yeah, yeah,
that's better.
Yes. Yeah, and yeah, and I guess I really, again, I really didn't care. Like it was, I infinitely preferred the one from last week. So in this case, because it was so simply told a week ago, I'm not going to refer back to that one. I'm going to bag that one from last week and I'm going to burn this one.
That's a great review, Brev. Because yeah, I'm going to give it the same thing, that this actually raises my opinion of Batman last week and lowers my opinion of Dark Knight. We've complained about the editorial on New 52 before. Where was anyone in oversight when two writers came in and said, well, the stupidest idea we could do is to have Arkham have another breakout? Because that happens
eight or nine times
a year. Can it happen in two titles out of four?
Jesus.
I kept hoping for some kind of hint that it was just the same breakout and that they tied together. No, it's two separate breakouts. And this story looks like it's going to drag on.
Yeah.
This was my second, what I thought was the second worst ending of any book. I'm going to have to beg for a new relaunch if this is, I don't want to spoil the ending of it, but one of my all-time favorite villains is represented at the end in a way that just drove me insane.
I'm going to drop another F-bomb. And, folks, here it comes. They completely fucked with somebody everybody loved. That's the only way.
Oh, yeah.
My absolute favorite villain ever. And if this is who he is in the New 52, I'm just furious. As upset as everyone is about Starfire, that's how upset I am about what they're doing, what they may have done to this character. I'm hoping it's some kind of self-contained weirdness just for this one book.
Couldn't it be? It could technically. I suppose it could be a clone. Seriously, I'm not kidding. It could be a clone, something like that. I don't think so.
I forgot about that part.
And you did?
Now I really hate it. Yeah, yeah. It's funny because I didn't like it before. I remembered that part. You know, it's like
burn. So this is a burn. Just burn.
I mean, I was hating the book. And then I got to that last page. I didn't think I could hate it more. And then I found another level of hate. that last page and what they did to that character that, like I say, just horrible. It's one of those things where it's like, oh, we need to throw in something that's going to bring people back. We need to throw in a big swerve, something that's, but in doing so, you ruin, like I say, if in doing so you ruin a character people have an affinity for, then it's a fail. You don't do something just for the sake of doing it. You do it because it's part of a progression of a storyline. It's an arc. There's got to be a reason for things. There's no reason for this. Finch, as his arc, there's times I've really liked it and times I haven't liked it so much. This was definitely the not like it thing. There's a female character that's in this. Her ass to boob ratio is so ridiculous. She's at one point you see her from the side and it's just stupid. I hated this. This was
a DC 52 book. Come on. I mean, I'm surprised she was in clothes.
Yeah.
Except her nipples.
She barely was. She's sitting there and she's some like ambassador, a daughter of an ambassador or something at some high functioning thing in her shirt. I mean, you could see, I'm pretty sure you could see anything you wanted to see. That skirt was so short. It was just, nobody shows up to an event like that dressed like that. Like, it's just stupid. Like, the whole thing, it's just one of those stupid books. Stupid, bad characterizations, bad decisions, bad dialogue, bad, burn it.
Excellent. It's nice to get something. A triple burn.
We actually agreed on something. I knew we'd agree on that one. I told that to Brett this afternoon. Brett was like, this next book coming up, he's like, I can't
book. And 52 we've agreed on.
Yeah, I know. It's been a while. But Brett told me this afternoon, he's like, I think we'll all agree on Aquaman sucks. And I was like, I don't think we will, man. It's like, well, we'll definitely agree that I Vampire sucks. I'm like, nope. But I know one we'll agree on, Brett. Don't worry. There's one out there. I knew this would be it.
You know, to be honest with you, I half thought that it was going to be Black Ox, but I guess I was wrong there. It's okay. But anyways, you know, thanks for the segue. Let's move on into Aquaman. Well, now we already know what Mo thinks of it, and heck, we already know what I think of it now. I mean, you know, I read this one in 2 minutes, and really? And I knew that this one was getting some. Oh yeah, sorry, 1 minute.
I read it in 5 minutes, but I read it twice.
Really? Okay.
To me, there was nothing in this book. Flat out nothing other than the Aquaman character, being subjected to what I have said about him for the last, you know, X amount of months or what have you, that he's a joke. And the truth is, to slap that in a book, again, I just want the Aquaman fish therapist book. That's really about the only Aquaman book I'm interested in right now. To me, flat out nothing happened in this book, and I did enjoy the art. But when Aquaman goes into a coffee shop and sits down and orders fish and chips, I tune out. And I left every piece of interest that I had right there and then. And so for me, this one's a total burn because, I don't care about the character and I don't care about the new direction.
Well, I like the art.
Yes, the art.
I really like the art. I dug the style. I thought it reminded me so much of Gary Frank, who's one of my favorite artists. As an introductory book, I think it's actually pretty good, to introduce the character. As Brett has reviewed many times, it is a good introductory. I just don't care. There's some really awful, awful dialogue early in the book. And
give me
just
an example.
Painful moments.
Since I disagree, I need
Would you example. Like a glass of water? And then a panel of silence.
I thought that was great, but.
Oh, then we differ. And, you know, the point where the character, where another character does say that the line I did like, Aquaman is no one's favorite superhero. But Aquaman doesn't argue with that, and I'll have to be on Aquaman's side for a change then. That Aquaman His totally sucks. He does not dispute this, and neither do I. Burn.
I...
All right, Mo, tell us why you liked it, besides the art.
Well, the art was fantastic, absolutely fantastic. The Aquaman character, his outfit, to me, has never really looked that good. In some ways, I preferred the look in the Peter David book to many degrees. I almost like the long hair and that iron armor look. But this, all of a sudden, this outfit, I'm like, this is a spectacular outfit. This is so gold and just looks cool, and it popped. I thought he looked tremendous. I liked the idea of him having the trident. I liked the idea of him saying, this was a book that it wasn't about fight. They did establish how powerful the character is at the beginning, which is something I think has been an issue. But at the very beginning, he stops a bank robbery type thing, or a truck or something like that that's been stolen or something like that, whatever. The point is, it shows how powerful he is. He's invulnerable to bullets. He's strong. This is something that's being an issue. Would you like a glass of water? To me, that was the first hint that they were aware of many of the weaknesses. It's like people used to laugh at Green Lantern because they could do anything you want. Unless it was yellow. Unless something's yellow, then you're flipped. You know? You're completely screwed if it's yellow. And that made no sense. And people used to laugh and make fun of that. And this was the same idea. Hey, Aquaman's powerful unless he's out of the water for an hour. Then he's nothing. And this perception that's in the comic book minds, it was aware, and they made it so it was in the universe's mind, and the people's mind. Like how you talk to fish, right? And he's like, no, I don't talk to fish. I give them a mental push to get them to do something I want. I don't talk to them. Their brains are too small. This book was all characterization. Developing a new character, an interesting take on a character that needed it. That's the relaunch. This guy doesn't feel like he's the king of Atlantis, but they've never really responded to him. He earned that title, but they never responded to him as one of their own. So he doesn't want to be with them anymore. He just wants to be a normal person who can live a normal life, but he can't. That's an interesting take to me. This to me, and then there's also the subplot about these creatures coming out of the ocean that's going to be the villains going forward that won't allow him to do what he wants to do, which is just live a normal life. Be able to go into a shop. Be able to be a normal person. Not have stupid questions asked. Great characterization. Great new take. Loved it. Bag this thing.
That's about as far as we've ever been off, too.
Yeah.
I did like that one spot about I don't talk to fish. I did think that was clever.
Yeah.
I thought all of it was clever. I really think this
was clever. I mean, there was moments, but... For me, yeah. I mean, like the idea of Aquaman wants to live above the sea.
But it's not like he wants to live above the totally. Sea. It's like he's sick of it. Like he's tried everything for these people, and they still don't accept him. And he's
Namor now, is what you're saying?
No, yeah. Namor was never like Namor's. You know, attack the people on. You know,
no, that was what Byrne did with Namor. That was Byrne's take on Namor.
I only read them bringing back Iron Fist, to be honest with you. That's the only interest I had in that.
We got one book left.
All right, let's do it.
51 out of 52 that we've talked about.
All right.
Batman's not in this one.
No, and although I thought he might be for a second.
He's not in this, but his great-great-grandfather's referenced.
Yeah, I know. I almost counted that because of that.
Yeah, that's fair. No, it's funny actually because you know that we would be ending with All-Star Western, but
this is one you were making fun of last week, Brett.
It's true. I went into this totally expecting to come out to say like, really, why the hell do we need a Western book? I still might question why the hell do we need a Western book, but at the end of the day, it is my favorite book of the week, and I definitely, you know. Even though I may question why we need a Western book, I like the story. I mean, I wasn't 100% sure right off the bat with the Amadeus Arkham character, but, you know, and seeing Jonah Hex again, well, it's obvious that they're committed to keeping Jonah Hex in the universe.
You've always liked Jonah Hex. You like the Vertigo take on him. You bought the Hex. You got the entire Hex series and, you know.
Can we talk about Hex for a while?
That's right.
I love that.
About books that lasted fewer than 20 issues.
That's no question.
The theme.
I didn't like Jonah Hex enough to like the movie, though. So,
well, it's because you're not a masochist, that, but, right?
But yeah, I thought that this was a pretty well written book with an interesting storyline, and this is definitely one that I would want to go through and collect the first story arc. I'm not 100% sure that I would keep going after that point, but I think it's earned the right to go on. I'm going to put it as a buy, but the one thing I will say,
your favorite is that, book of the week, whoa, is only a buy.
Oh yeah,
come in.
No, I okay, there. Okay, I'll bag the first arc. There we go. But I think I did have a problem with this book.
Okay.
I'm going to say that, you know, like, I really liked the artist's characters, but again, there was absolutely, like, unless it was a splash page, there was absolutely no backgrounds on almost any panel.
It's the Wild West, like, there is nothing really in the background.
It just struck me as, you know, 90% lazy, 10% really nice. That's my biggest problem with it.
I didn't notice that as much on this book. I'll have to take another look at it, because that was my complaint about Batwing's art, was that I thought the foregrounds were beautiful and there was nothing done to make them exist in a world.
Yeah, but and I thought they were just
doing figure drawings.
If that's the artist's stylistic choice and he thinks is the best way to convey that storyline, that doesn't have to be a bad thing. I mean, maybe that's the way you would draw it. If you had the talent to do so, but it doesn't mean it has to be the only way to do it.
Without any backgrounds, though, it's just a pinup book. Like, they're not inside a world anymore. They're inside
not if it's done in panels. Not if it's done
blue screen.
Not if it's close-ups. This was a lot of close-ups and a lot of, you know, it's about the action and conveying the action and the body language. It's more than that. I disagree. But anyways.
But you know, really, the thing is, though, is that for me, I noticed it. Whereas, you know, in some cases.
Yeah, I didn't. So, yeah.
Like, Keith didn't notice it. I happened to notice it. So, for me, it stood out in that regard.
Yeah, so I'll take another look at it. I'll probably be with Mo that I felt that I didn't have a problem with the art. I liked the art. I really liked it. This also was easily the best book of the week for me, my favorite book. I haven't been following Jonah Hex's series that just ended for this reboot. I like the way that they've brought this character in. I like the little ties to the DCU without it seeming like, you know, Elseworlds gimmicky stuff of Bruce Wayne's granddad could have easily been a kind of Elseworldsy thing, and it's not. You know, Mayor Cobblepot or Commissioner Cobblepot or whatever he's called. The literary device of the ongoing psych profile of the guy that's analyzing Hex was clever to tell much more of the background of who this person is as he behaves, as opposed to just an origin story or just a an inner monologue. I'm going to call this a poly double bag. I think this was probably, this is easily in my top three of the entire relaunch.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this as well. I thought this story, I thought it started weak. I was not used to the art. It seemed a little cartoony for me. I was expecting a gritty, realistic Western. We weren't getting that right from the beginning. And as I understood that the storyline wasn't really that, the art seemed to suit it more. And the storyline got better. And then you got to the point where there's a plot twist, because basically Hex is there. He's looking for a murderer. There's a serial killer within the town of Gotham in his era. He's being brought in, and he's looking for it. And there's a plot twist about who may be it. And at that point, I was hooked. I was like, this is great. This is a great storyline. And they're developing. I agree that having Dr. What was his name? Something Arkham. What was it? Was the first
Amadeus Arkham.
Amadeus Arkham. His the fact that you were essentially reading his journal, explaining as he was learning about this character. Again, we were learning about this character, and a character that he says at the beginning seems to have no moral values, except a code of honor that he would complete his mission. You see his values start to creep out more and more and more, and that gave depth to the character. And then he's not just Deathstroke or Voodoo. Now he is somebody who, again, he's an anti-hero. This is what I needed him to be. Really good book, really good characterizations, writing, pacing, everything. Great, intriguing storyline. Makes me want to go back and read what Palmiotti and Gray were doing earlier with Hex. So really absolute bag it.
All right, we have another agreement.
We had to convince
you. Yay, finally. I don't think all three of us have bagged a book in the entire go, so that's really impressive.
I think true. Animal Man.
Well, actually, no, I think.
Animal except Animal Man. Except yeah. Animal Man.
All right.
So two books out of 52 we all agreed on to bag, and I think one or two books out of all 52 we agreed to burn.
Yeah, and there might have been one or two that we all agreed to buy or something. I'm not sure.
I'm sure in the middle it was
undoubtedly, yeah.
Okay. All right, guys. Well, let's...
Oh, my God. Are we finally done of this?
We are. Well, yes. Almost. We're almost there, guys. One of the things that we want to do right here is we conducted an interview with Neil Adams at the Calgary Expo. We had that in our first episode. You can go back to the first episode, listen to the interview with Adams and Hellboy creator Mike Mignola. We had Mira Furlon and Alan Burnett in the second episode. Of course, Adrian Barbeau has been on recently. We have an interview still with Doug Bradley and Aaron Gray that we haven't aired yet. And they'll probably be in some form. We'll get those on We Talk Comics or We Talk Podcasts. But we thought it'd be interesting because we asked Neil Adams specifically about the reboot and Detective Comics, because that is a series he had worked on, about the reboot. And we thought it'd be interesting just go back and drop that section in here again and then talk about it, because it seems extremely relevant. So we're going to do that right now.
So I'm just going to quickly ask you about what do you think of DC relaunching all the titles, especially Detective Comics?
I find it to be worrisome. It seems as though they're trying to ace creatives out, but maybe they're not. It seems as though they're trying to make it very difficult for small publishers to stay in business, but maybe they're not. I think it's an attack on the lower tier of the Marvel comics, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's done in all innocence. Maybe it's just like, we're going to try this. Or maybe it's a conscious effort to reclaim their first position in comics by doing something that I have to consider questionable. I mean, I don't want to take them down for it, and I don't want to majorly criticize them, but I do have to say that on the surface of it, it seems to be uncomfortably suspicious. And I would prefer that people could feel better about it. And I think that small publishers in particular have something to sweat about here. It bothers me a lot.
I guess maybe I was a little tainted because I talked to Neil before this, and so maybe there was a part of me that kind of went in thinking that this might be a bit of a cash grab, a bit of a way to assert dominance over the rest of comics, and at the end of it, I can't help but feel that maybe it is, because it doesn't strike me as something that was necessary for me. And I think that maybe, you know, I look at what Neil said and I listen to what Neil said, and I think his concerns mirror how I feel right now. Like, we didn't need this. They carried on way too many storylines in this, and I just thought that you know, like, I'm just not sold on their reasons for doing it. I don't think it was in everyone's best interest.
I completely disagree, 100%.
Excellent.
I certainly didn't agree with all of the relaunches, all of the revamps, etc. But many of them were needed. Brett has brought me over to his idea of an every 10-year reboot.
Solve a lot of problems. By the way,
I have completely come on as a serious thing that there should be a regular reboot, because it would get rid of the nonsense of how do you get Mary Jane and Peter to break up? How do you get a character back from the dead? You don't. You just leave it until the next reboot and you start again with what you think will work better.
Did it completely.
But doesn't that go back to what I talked about at the beginning? Now you're taking away the legacy of the characters, which is part of what draws me in and makes it seem important.
But there's this thing called continuity entropy.
That thing I invented, you mean?
But I've continued taking credit for it. DC had grown into such a muddle in the way that Marvel still is because of the constant events. And, you know, even as we're trying to figure out, you know, where this character was 5 years ago, where that character was this in 52, was it an Infinite Crisis?
is a sign of just how incredibly complex and bogged down they had gotten. Now, I don't necessarily agree with every decision. There's a lot of them that I don't. And there's a lot of them that I would have gone further than they went. I mean, Green Lantern, I really wish... I mean, if it wasn't for the Green Lantern continued to be selling, it would have been rebooted along the way.
I mean, essentially, they basically said, what we've done recently is really good. We don't want to lose that work.
Yeah, unless you were Superman. I mean, if you worked on Reign of Superman...
No, I said if it was really good. New Krypton. Actually, I enjoyed the New Krypton. I enjoyed the New Krypton storyline. And as I'm reading it, I'm going, this should never be happening to Superman. Storyline's good, but this never should have happened.
I now can't wait to read New Krypton, because with it retconned out, I'm just going to treat it as an Elseworlds.
Yeah.
Dan Didio, for all of the things that I don't like about him, he made a very good point going into this. We need to get new readers in.
Yeah, and as long as they're not seven.
As long as they're not seven, I do and I don't think what they wanted to do and what they actually have done are two different things. How successful they are, that's a different thing. Their intentions were there, and there was a quote of his going into this that he doesn't want to see an industry where 10,000 people pay $20 each for a comic book. And I completely agree with that. We don't want this to shrink and shrink until a very small group of people is who's maintaining the entire art form. We need
to. Then wouldn't you want to have the books available to a 7-year-old?
Yes, I agree with that. But Neil Adams never said anything about the age groups of these. He's talking about muscling people out of market share and paranoid delusions that DC is trying to take over small press. And I don't agree with any of that. I think that they're just trying to grow the audience. And that should be commended. Have they made mistakes? Absolutely. But that is not... They didn't set out to make those mistakes.
Well, I guess what we're talking about is the difference between talking about the quality of the books and the quotes that Neil Adams made and whether or not you agree with it. I think Neil Adams is Nostradamus, whereas I think you in this case are Nostradamus. So I am not at all... You like that one, Brown?
Did you come up with that one last night?
No, just now. I'm freaking happy with myself. Yeah,
I don't know what you know about Nostradamus. He wrote a whole bunch of nonsense that people hundreds of years later
I know that. We're not going to get into
it. I think you picked an absolute
quit filibustering over there. We're going to talk about what Neil Adams said. I'm going to use a quote from Mike Luoma. Mike Luoma, we talk about his book, Adventures of Alibi Jones, that we all enjoyed. The space opera he released coming out October 4th, and we're hoping people track it down from Earthbound Comics. Also, he has a series or a Potomatic podcast where he's reading stories from the same character, Glow in the Dark Radio, available here. And we're going to give a shout-out to him again. And one of the things that he said as a quote to Brian Michael Bendis, a reply to something he said was, you think it's hard for you right now. Try being a small press person when DC is sucking all the air out of the room. And that's what Neil Adams was saying. And you're thinking at it from a reader's point of view. From a small press point of view, Neil Adams is right. They are trying to corner the market share and push these small market and Marvel's lower tier inches out of the way. Now, the good thing about this is when there is 15 books of quality out of 52, theoretically, they'll only have 15 or 20 books a year from now. So they'll probably fail because a lot of these are going to go to the wayside because they're not good enough. But then again, I suspect I would have a lot more respect for what you're talking about, Keith, them needing to reboot. Now, as far as I'm concerned, all they need to do is retcon something out like they did with Superman's original origin to something else. That's fine. That's good enough. That's all you need to do if you do it well. But as far as what you're saying, that they need to get new readers and get people on board, I'd have a lot more respect for them if they took their 15 or 20 best books, concepts, characters, whatever, and did that and everything was high quality, then throughout 52, 75% of which is shit.
You know what? Actually, one thing that I did want to bring up is that, you know, especially for you, Keith, is the concept that you were the one who brought up slave labor, stopping printing actual single issues and moving entirely to digital and trade paperbacks. And I think that it is odd timing that they did that right smack in the middle of DC's 52 relaunch. You know, it just, I'm not saying that it has anything to do with it, but it just does seem like that odd kind of timing.
It absolutely has something to do with this, in that DC has shown that same day digital will get readers back to comics that haven't been getting them in a while. Every comic store is reporting that old readers are coming back, new people are coming in, and when they're in the store, if they don't like that DC book, they came into the store. They'll look at something else. That was the purpose of this, was to get back those 90s readers. You know, we talked about those sales of, you know, 4 million copies of X-Force, 8 million copies of X-Men. Sure, X-Men was, you know, one-fifth of that, and everyone bought 5 copies. But 200,000, 300,000 copies these days. There's more people out there that used to read comics. And the same-day digital does that. A big push like this that got huge press, these books got reviewed in the New York Times. It got huge press, got people interested in comics again. Yes, people, every time Marvel does a big crossover, small press suffers. And Marvel is more guilty than anyone else of flooding the market with junk books to get those few little dollars and force people out. I completely disagree with everything Adam said.
So you disagree with my point that if they had done 15 or 20 high-quality books that got reviewed by the New York Times that everybody could enjoy, that would be different than putting out Frankenstein, Agent of Shade?
I think they needed to do a stunt to get that kind of press. Because,
well,
realistically,
let me tell you,
there's...
As good as the sales on these books are, they're still not what Civil War number one was.
No, they're not. And that's why you need a stunt. Civil War sold because you were going to kill Captain America.
It was a stunt, yeah. You know what? At the end of the day, it didn't sustain, and this won't either, so it doesn't mean anything. We no longer do We Talk Wrestling, but let me give you a little story here. 2 years ago, Hulk Hogan, who is ancient, came back to a new company, Total Nonstop Action. That same night that new company debuted on a Monday night head-to-head with the market leader, WWE, Bret Hart, who had not been in the WWE for 15 years since he had a real-life falling out, kept on camera, was brought back. The ratings for both of these shows were 100 to 150% higher than they had been previously. 6 months later, business is down because the quality was not sustained. They didn't do anything good. A stunt doesn't mean anything. You know what means the most at the end of the day? Continued good storytelling, good artists, good writers. That's what grows the industry. Brent, your three favorite, three weakest.
Whew. Wow, that's tough stuff. Well, I'm gonna go with Batman, because I did enjoy that one a lot. I'm going to go with Animal Man, because I enjoyed that one a lot. And I'm gonna go with All-Star Western. Those are my three favorites, but I am gonna give an honorable mention to Deathstroke, because I thought that seemed like a book that I might like to read. Let's see now. What's the worst? What's the worst? Black Ox for sure is one of the worst. I hated that book. Hawk and Dove, I hated that book too. Let's see now, what else did I... Well, you know, I didn't really like OMAC, but I'm not sure I'm going to bury it right now. I didn't like Mr. Terrific, but I don't know that I can bury it. I think that I may have to give Batman the Dark Knight in the three worst. So, again, you know, here you go with... Two of the three worst wound up being in this final week. I really struggled with this final week because, again, as much as I really wanted to, I wanted to get into this. I wanted to get into this whole thing. And I think at the end of it, I'm still left wanting. Like, there's a few books that I really liked and that I would consider picking up, but I think for the most part, I'm not even going to continue reading the vast majority of these.
And Brett, out of 10, what would you give the overall new 52?
Out of 10, I'm gonna go with a 3. It really didn't do anything for me. There was way too many books that I was confused on, and for a lot of the books that I know, Mo, that you certainly, I think you're going to, you know, defer with me on this, and I think it's because you really went out and looked at the books that that were actual like launches of the characters and actually did start the storylines. Whereas for me, even when it did that, if I wasn't interested, then I still couldn't say like, oh well, at least it did that, because I just didn't care. And because of the vast majority of the books, me not caring about the vast majority, I would have to give it a 3.
Okay. Keith, your 3 strongest, your 3 weakest, and overall out of 10.
All right. Well, I've got almost the same strongest, actually. I would pick Animal Man, Deathstroke, and All-Star Western as my 3 favorites. And I would say as a credit to the new 52, if you had launched these books, I would never have looked at Deathstroke or All-Star Western. I would have definitely gotten into Animal Man, but I would never have picked up a Deathstroke book. I will give Green Lantern Corps an honorable mention here because of what I'm about to say. In the worst, just quality of book-wise, Blackhawks, Olmec, and Firestorm have been my 3 least favorites on quality of book. But Green Lantern and Legion, and the 2 Legion books, for completely failing to do anything to change these books in the relaunch and make them accessible in any way. Green Lantern Corps gets an honorable mention as one of the better books because I did feel like it was an entry point. Green Lantern was just the next issue of Green Lantern, and so was Legion. They completely failed as entry points, so I would list them as worst books because of that. I would go with, I'm going to go with a 7. There was a lot of low quality books, but there were a lot of good quality books, and there were more that I will be looking at next month than I would have looked at next month without this.
I mean, you could say the same thing for me because I would have gone from, zero.
Your number would have been 0 and it'll be at least 2. So maybe as many as 5. So
yeah. Even if it's 10,
I don't know what you know about math. That's actually an infinite increase.
Is that a crisis?
Any percentage that involves 0 is actually an infinite increase. Go ahead, Mo.
All right. Well, my 3 favorites, Superman, Aquaman, and Batman. And, you know, I also like Swamp Thing. Also, you know, as I look back, I think it's good. Like Supergirl's good as a jumping on point, I think. Not quite in that top 3. All-Star Western is very close. But, yeah, I mean, I'm going to go with those 3, the Aquaman, the Superman, and Batman. And I think it's very interesting for me that all 3 are traditional superhero books. You know, Justice League guys. So speaking of weakest, Justice League. One of my 3 weakest, because all the issues that I have with this relaunch, all the things that pissed me off, were pointed out to me and really driven home within that first issue of Justice League. I think it was absolutely weak. Of course, I'm going to also go with Batman the Dark Knight and my least favorite of all, Captain Atom. No surprise to anybody. Overall, I'm going to give this a 4.5 out of 10. Because it did give us some launching on points. Yes, that's true, Brett. But my issue is simply that 2 things. Number one, sure, it gave us a lot of launching on points, but the quality of a lot of those launching on points is simply not enough. I think the books that were weak, that the Captain Atom and the Batman, were way worse than the books that were quality of a Batman the other way. I think the bad is at the lowest level of bad, and the good is not quite the highest level of good. I'm not going to put anything in here up with Watchmen, whereas I'll put some of these as the worst books I've ever read. Also, another issue for me is, as somebody who would have been reading 15 books or 20 books of DC before, now I'm probably reading 6 to 8. So I'm reading less. So to me, that's another fail. So not an utter fail, but definitely, let's go 4.5 out of 10, because I can't quite go 5. Not pleased.
I think one thing that it does is it does kind of, we tended to stay at the end of this within our typical reading strategies. Keith, you tend to be more towards the adult, towards the Vertigo and that kind of range. Mo does tend to be more towards the superhero. And I tend to just across the genres a lot. You know, like I like superhero books, but I like the other stuff. So this is more where I'm more.
You're much more dynamic than we are. That's true.
I'm probably crazier, but because I try to read both, but it just comes down to that. You know, like I'm riding the middle of the road, and I think that it shows with what we liked. You know, whereas.
I'd agree. You know, I had that thought as Mo was listing his. I did like Supergirl, but it didn't come close to hitting my top three, even though it was probably my favorite superhero book out of the whole lot. I had started disconnecting from superheroes quite a while ago. Most of what I followed was Vertigo.
I'm the one who liked My Vampire.
You did.
I can't explain it.
Perhaps even more than you liked it. At first, out of our focus group of three, what he didn't fare so well, but we'll see.
Maybe because I'm not familiar with good adult books, the vertical book. No, I mean, I read that too. I mean, but I'm the one who also would have had the strongest connection to DC superheroes, definitely.
But yeah, it's funny, the people, the one who had the strongest connection and the one who had the weakest connection wound up giving it a less than, you know, half out of 10.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You know, or less than 5 out of 10, whereas the one guy who was kind of, you know, there with the DC Universe, read it, you know, kind of like Superman, winds up giving it the highest reviews of all. So.
I think that's interesting. Yeah. That's a good point, because Brett, it didn't do a good enough job of converting somebody, but somebody who didn't need to be converted, it didn't do a good enough job of keeping them. Instead, it turned them off because it pushed away what they liked. Whereas somebody who kind of had probably an open mind as somebody who liked the characters but wanted to see new takes got what he needed.
And it's interesting that the target audience of this was always stated to be 90s fans who bought tons of DC but had drifted away, which is exactly me. So from target audience of who they were pushing this at, huge success. From the two audiences that they should have also been trying to appeal to, big fail.
And it's a good thing you're not a 7-year-old girl.
And, yes, for many reasons.
let's give the relaunch a 5 out of 10 as an overall grade from We Talk Comics, your number one source for Mo spouting bullshit about comics. Brett's on Twitter, Brett_WeTalk. he's got an email, Brett@WeTalkPodcast.com. Brett@WeTalkPodcast.com.
That's right.
Keith, please don't make me do it again for you.
I am on Twitter at CubReporterK on Twitter. I am writing for thecorrectness.com. We're doing our Action Hero Smackdown, which I'm contributing to. And you can email me at Keith@WeTalkPodcast.com.
Okay. Now, throughout the last bit, I'm Mo_WeTalk on Twitter. And I'm also Mo, M-O, at WeTalkPodcast.com on email. We're looking for feedback from you guys, what you thought of the 52, what you think of our shows. One of the things that I'm going to plug a couple of things that are coming up. Number one, I've been working on a podcast on the late singer-songwriter Janie Lane since the beginning, or since basically since his death, and I've been working on putting a lot of hours into it, and that is still coming. One or two podcasts on him, and Brett and I will co-host that. Next episode, we will have, I believe, our guest analyst Chris be back, and hopefully he may become a co-host in the future, so we're going to continue to grow our family. The goal is to have a 45-minute or 45-host comic show, everybody getting to talk for 1 minute about something. That'll be interesting. So look out for Chris, so we'll be happy to have him on. What we're going to be doing in October is a little bit of horror and death-related stuff. We're going to have our long-related death topic of death and the importance of that in comics and some history of horror comics. In November, that's when we're going to have Small Press Month. So we're looking for people who are fans of Small Press to tell us what they're reading and tell us what to recommend, and we're going to try it out. Or if you're a Small Press publisher, please send us if we're looking for PDFs or something along that nature. We can read it. We'll review your book as we did with Michael Loma's Adventures of Alibi Jones. And thank you very much, everybody. My dog needs a walk. Her name is Princess Leia, and she's looking at me like I've forgotten to use the Force. So O-U-T.
And, you know, technically, I'm sure in October we'll be reviewing the death of some of the 52 books.